High School that do so much behind the scenes that you may not realize. And with COVID, I'm not making any excuses for anybody, but I know how hard it's been for me as a pastor to pull everybody together, and they've had it double hard with young people over the course. It's just a new mindset that's hard to explain. We just can't get the kids hooked up the way we used to. And by the way, I'm proud of you five for the way you've stayed hooked. And but it's been trying for our youth leaders to get the kids in the classes, to get the kids here Sunday morning, to get the kids to activities and stuff. But they're trying. They work hard. And the organizational skills of our youth leaders are second to none. When we have an event, like our auction or whatever, it's always it's orderly and things happen because they make it happen. And so they, you know, I hate to toot Cooper's horn. He'll think I like him, but he something that he does that y'all aren't aware of, and I say he, I guess Bergen contributes as well, but every weekend he has some of these boys over at his house working, and he pays them out of his pocket, pays them way too much, in my opinion. And some of them starting out don't know how to work. They're not earning it. But he does it anyway because he wants these kids to grow up knowing how to work and make it. And he's been doing this for some time, and I know he's my son. I brag on him, but it's an impact that he's making on these young people. I mean, weekend after weekend, and it's costly, and I appreciate him doing that. We know that that pays off, as well as the spiritual things as well. And so our youth leaders do so much behind the scenes, so give them the credit that they deserve. We're going to be going to camp soon. We're not going to have the group this year that we've always had. It's going to be down, but we're going to have fun, and we're going to have a good group, but it's not the size that it's been in the past. Pray for our youth leaders. Pray for the efforts that they put forth, and we as a church put forth to try to get more kids back in here and start reaching them with the Word of God in greater numbers. Okay. With that being said, I want to introduce our graduates to you. All five of the graduates this year are Slayton Tigers, okay? We don't have, in the past, we've had some from some other high schools, Lubbock and Southland and Wilson, but this year they're all Slayton Tigers, and this is not in no particular order, but Eli Perez, Karina Betancourt, Camila Sanchez, Jacorian Doss, and Tanner Myers, okay, have made it, and let's give them a good hand. I will say, before we go to the video, I want to tell you kids how proud I am of you, and you're all special to me, okay? I don't know all of you as well as I know Jacorian, and he's been my boy. He's been riding my bus for years and years since he was a pretty young kid, and I'm proud of all of you, but Jacorian, you're a standout to me. You're always like my son, and I appreciate you so much. I appreciate all of you. Eli, your family. The Perez family, there's no better. I'll just say that. They're the kindest, sweetest people, and it comes out in your disposition. Tanner, all of you guys have just you've done so well in staying hooked in the youth group. I see all five of you up here on Wednesdays and many Sunday mornings, most Sunday mornings, and I'm proud of all of you, okay? Stay hooked. You're going to go off to college. There's going to be a lot of junk thrown at you, and you're going to want to get tied up in things that you don't need to be tied up in. Remember your church. Remember the Lord. Represent your family well out there. Stay out of that junk. Stay in the house of God, and you'll be all right. With that being said, we're going to watch our video, and then we're going to let Coop, he's going to come and speak to our graduates, and then we'll go to the back and have some refreshments, okay?
can't believe we've come this far, and it feels just like getting started. Somehow we're still running like those kids back then, kids back then. Scrape some knees and falling down, but somehow we keep getting back up. Long as there is wonder, gonna keep running, yeah, we'll keep running. In this moment, it's electric. Can you see it? Can you feel it? This dream inside is still alive today. Yeah, we're on our way.
Considered just coming up here tonight and just telling stories of all the funny stuff that has been accomplished by this group right here, but it probably wouldn't be appropriate, half of them. But he was speaking on how tough it is. There should be about 5-6 more kids up here, and literally you can't get kids to send you pictures so you can honor them. And we're like dogging them, texting them individually, calling them, no response. So it just is what it is, but I was thinking one funny story, and I'll tell it before I get started here. This is one of Bergen's favorites, but Javier, he can't be here tonight. And one thing, some of them are working, so I'll brag on them about that. They are at their actual jobs working, and that's good. But Javier, he's working tonight, but all those boys have come out over, we've had, I don't know, a couple of sessions of boys over the last 3 or 4 years that come and work for us. But Javier, one of the first times he came out and worked for us, we have one of those zero-turn riding lawnmowers. If you've ever seen them before, and we have a little bit of land, so I'd have those boys mow the back acre because I didn't care how it looked. So they could mow it however which way they want to. I'm going to mow the yard. Well, Javier had never mowed before, so I was like, all right, Javi, we're going to teach you how to mow today. So Javier, if you've ever seen him before, he used to have a box fade about this tall, big old stout boy, and he gets on that zero-turn lawnmower, and that lot's a little bumpy, and he's just bouncing. But he had a grin from cheek to cheek, and we got tickled watching him bounce across that field mowing that that afternoon. But like I said, there's numerous stories just like that. But What I want to start off with is just how proud I am of each and every single one of you guys. It's challenging. It's a crazy world we live in. Y'all have so many opportunities to go do anything you want, and y'all are in God's house. And that speaks to each and every one of you. And y'all are really the first group that we've been able to watch that y'all have come up out of junior high, out of Mountain Lawrence class, and come up as freshmen, and we'll be able to watch you come all the way through over these years. And that's the first, y'all are the first group that's been that way for us. So y'all are really special to us, because a lot of groups we came in and they were already juniors or they were already sophomores, and we've got to see you guys progress all the way through to where you're at now. And to each of y'all who are in this church who don't, you know, see what goes on out here, you'll never understand how fulfilling it is, at least for me as a youth pastor, to see the progression and the maturity that happens over a four-year period. I know it now because I have kids, so it's exciting to see it with your own kids more so. But with these guys, it's so fun to watch, and it's surprising how far they come in 4 years. When they come in as freshmen, I'm like, I don't think I can take 4 years of this kid. This kid's about to drive me nuts. But within 4 years, they come in from kids, essentially, and they're turning into little miniature adults. And, you know, we don't go out and eat very often, but every once in a while we'll go to, like, Pizza Hut or Sonic. And what's crazy is 90% of them are kids that are in our youth group. And that's exciting for me to see that they're working. You know, we see what's going on in the world, and they're willing to get out there and actually do something. It's scary at the same time because they're preparing my food for me. And so I have to kind of mentally put a block on real quick before I eat that burger or something, knowing that's the thing. But one other story is, speaking to how they're still knuckleheads, me and Bergen are getting ready for bed the other night. I don't know what night. It was Tuesday night, something like that. And I hadn't locked the house or anything. Well, they come and go from, we have a barn at the back. They're welcome to come and go, play pool, whatever they want to do, as long as they shut everything down. Well, we're in the bedroom, and we're getting ready for bed, and I hear something. So we get quiet for a second, and something had dropped and hit the floor. And then we hear some scampering and shuffling around, and Bergen's like, what is that? And I was like, I don't know. Well, all of a sudden, I just hear crashing. And all of a sudden, I hear the back door just boom, 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 somebody hitting as hard as they are. And I was going to grab my pistol. And I thought, I bet you it's those kids. So I go, I walk out through the kitchen, back door is wide open, there's stuff on the floor. And I walk out the patio and I look around, don't see anybody. And I walk back in because Sutton's room's right there. So I walk back in his room, he's crashed. And I walk back out and I hear somebody go, hey, boy. And it's Eli. And I think he thought I was going to be scared. I came straight at him for a split second, then I saw who he was. But they still can be knuckleheads. But all the fun and jokes aside, I want to talk to you five real quick about something that's very important for you guys to understand. And more than just understanding, actually apply as you go into this next chapter of your life. And the reason I know it's important is because the Bible speaks about it. And if it's in God's word, then that means that's something we should probably listen to. And not only listen to, but actually apply. And I'm going to give you just one verse here tonight. I'm super brief. They already know that. I can put together 4 hours worth of material and speak through it in about 3 minutes. So 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Paul was talking to here to the church of Corinth. And he was talking to them throughout the book of 1 Corinthians about numerous things. But what he was trying to accomplish here was to tell them specifically of their need for spiritual growth. And even earlier in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, he uses the example. He says, hey, y'all are still on milk. Y'all can't even take solid food yet because you haven't matured yet. And he's not talking about physically, he was using that as an example of their spiritual growth. He was saying they're just young. Y'all don't understand things yet. You have not matured. And all five of you here have grown up in this church, essentially. Some of y'all's whole lives, but most of y'all for a large portion of it. You know, you've started out learning here the many tools and the principles that God has given you to grow as a Christian and to grow as an individual. But if you don't put those things into action and you don't actually apply those things, it's all for nothing. You can learn all you want. You can go to college here pretty soon, and you can learn everything you want. But if you don't put it into action, nothing ever comes of it. And just because you're about to graduate doesn't mean that your journey as a Christian, it stops here. The reality is it should be just beginning. This should be the very start for you to truly branch out and flourish. And the reality is life is about to come at you full force and you don't realize it. I remember being your age, and it really wasn't that long ago, and I thought I was conquering the world. I remember telling my dad, I said, by the time I'm 25, I'm going to make my first million. Hasn't happened yet, guys. I'm 27. But life is going to come at you full force. And if you're not prepared and mature as a Christian, you run the risk of getting caught off guard. Everybody in this room understands that we live in an upside-down world right now. It's not. I'm not telling you anything you hadn't seen or you don't already know. I don't have to go into the details for you to fully grasp that. What was once wrong is now right, and what was once right is now wrong. So we're confused. We're mixed up. And if you five go into college, or you go into the workforce, or you go into a relationship, and you don't fully understand what you believe in and know why you believe in that, then you're going to get blown around just like a ship at sea. And it's just going to toss you from one thing to the next thing, to the next thing. And you're not going to have any guidance. You're just going to get thrown around. And since I was a kid, I've grown up in this church my entire life. So I've got to watch a lot of things happen. And that's one thing about being the baby of the family, too. I've learned from watching a lot of what's around me. But what I've seen time and time again come through this church is there will be a young person, and they're living their life. They're on fire for God. They got saved at church camp or early on, whatever, here at church. And they're going in the right direction, and they're making the right choices, and they have all the potential in the world in front of them. But as soon as they graduate, the priority of going to church kind of gets tossed to the side. The priority of reading God's word, it's not that important. The priority of prayer, it just goes away, right? And then the world tells them what their priorities are supposed to be. And it's not long before many of those people have put all those things to the bottom of their list of priorities, and they've fallen off track. They've gotten backslidden. And it's just easy to do, and the world wants you to do that. And it's not long due to their spiritual immaturity, that they get completely backslidden, and then they're away from the things of God and allow themselves to fall into temptations. And the truth is, I don't want that to happen to you guys in y'all's life. The great thing, I've seen it happen, I've seen people come back. And that's the grace of God. That's amazing. But if you don't ever have to go that route, don't do it. It's pretty simple. I know that God has an individual plan for each and every one of you. And I know, again, each one of y'all have genuinely good hearts. There's not one of y'all sitting here that I would think, you know what, they just don't have it right there. And God's not in their heart, and they're not focused up. I know y'all are. But I want to encourage you to not fall into that same repetitive cycle that you've probably seen over and over again, and decide that you're going to stay committed right here and now to the things of God. Make it up in your mind. Make it a priority. If you just think that you're going to, you haven't made it a priority, and it's not going to happen that way. You have to decide. And it's not something that's going to happen on its own. It's something that you have to work at. It's something that takes time. It's something that it can cause struggles in your life. But the benefits and the blessing that God gives far outweighs anything that could potentially be a con. And I don't want you to let your spiritual journey just stop here. Again, this should be the starting point for you guys. And no matter where God takes you, to take his word with you. Most of y'all have gotten a Bible back in our class for coming 4 Sundays in a row. Use that thing. It's not just something you throw on your dash. Use it. Take it. Read it. Try to learn from it. Prayer, it's free. Anytime you have something and going through your mind, pray and ask God for wisdom. Ask God for direction. And if you're going to stay here in God's house. If you're going off to college somewhere, if you're going to Clarendon, I know a little pink church right there. That's a great place to go to. Find a Bible-believing and a Bible-teaching church and get locked in so that you have other people to rely upon. If you're trying to do it by yourself, you're not going to be able to get it done. And if you try to face this world by yourself, it's almost impossible. You cannot do it. It is impossible. You have to rely upon God, and you have to rely upon other Christians just like yourself to be able to face everything that's in this world. And again, what I want you to encourage you with is don't stay spiritually immature. Continue to grow and continue to work in the direction of whatever God has for you in your life, because each one of y'all have an individual plan that he wants you to accomplish. But you have to be willing, and you have to be willing to take a stance and try to grow and do more for him. So that's all I have. Again, I can't say how proud I am of you guys. Y'all are a great group. Y'all are going to accomplish great things, and I'm just proud of you. It's a changing world, and y'all are a shining light in total chaos. So take that and try to do something with it if you can. So I guess I'll let him come up here. He'll do a little spill or something, and we'll pray.
Okay, turn in your Bibles to. No, I'm just kidding. Here, let me make some announcements. Thank you, Cooper, and appreciate your hard work with these kiddos, and it's going to pay off. I know that. Let me remind you, when we dismiss here, if you want to get a camp T-shirt, we're just got till the 27th to get these orders in. They're really nice T-shirts. The order forms are on the back table when you leave here. And also, Young at Heart is this Tuesday at 10:30. We'll play games about 10:30 and then have a potluck meal around noon. And then also, Patsy, there's 35. We're going to be feeding 35 on Thursday, and we will feed them at 1 o'clock, okay, because the service is here at 2 o'clock. No reason to have them sitting around back there for all that time, so we'll feed them at 1 o'clock. That is for Lisa Jones, and this is, again, Judy Ross's daughter. Did you find out about the time for Emily's surgery? 9:30. Okay, Emily Cook is going to be having surgery in the morning, so about 9:30, you guys be praying for Emily that surgery will go well. With that being said, thank you, families, for being here, for our graduates, and thank you, church. We're going to go ahead and stand, and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, and we'll ask the blessing on the refreshments, and then when we get back there, I think probably first things first, we'll get some photos with the kids and their families in front of the cake, and then we'll get right to the refreshments, okay? So glad you were here. Let's go ahead and stand and appreciate, again, Matt and Lauren and their role with our young people. Matt, will you lead us in prayer as we dismiss?